coming up on Thunder Pop.
This is the second half of an episode we taped that ran so long I decided to split it in half. So this is going to be episode 119. And it's me, myself, with Reed Charles and Jeff Painter as we continue our conversation on IPs. Burning destruction of the biggest IPs in pop culture, Star Wars, Star Trek. And at this point, at the beginning of the podcast, we start off talking about now J.J. Abrams, who's had his hands in Star Trek and Star Wars, now maybe having his hands in DC and how that could unfold or unravel, depending on your opinions on the state of J.J. Abrams and what he did with Star Trek and Star Wars. And we'll have in this portion of that taping, we get Feed the Read, and then we finally get into Agree or Disagree, Thoughts and Advice, and some other goodies in the goodie bag. So here it is, episode 119. So anyway, this is a funny one. This is the audio with Tarantino talking to J.J. Abrams about the timelines.
The alternate designs. Of far greater importance is which license is in play, and that is determined by the aesthetics and tone. If you're confused, don't be ashamed. You're not the only one. In July of 2019, director Quentin Tarantino also expressed his confusion regarding the alternate Star Trek timeline. Director J.J. Abrams had an unusual way of clarifying it for him.
Is it in the current timeline? Is it? You're a fan of the original series,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
So what is it?
Yeah, it's like... It would deal with the Chris Pine... timeline. Now, I still don't quite understand, and JJ can't explain it to me. Whatever, and my editor has tried to explain it to me, and I still don't get it. All right, Fred Raskin, about something happened in the first movie that now kind of wiped the slate clean.
Right.
I don't buy that.
Nope.
I don't like it.
Bullshit.
I don't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yay.
All right, I don't like that. You know,
I'm going to lead you down a road. You want the Guardian of Forever to have happened, don't you?
Yeah, I want. I want the whole series to have happened. All right, it just hasn't happened yet.
Yes.
And no, Benedict Cumberbatch or whatever his name is. All right, is not Khan.
Yeah.
All right, Khan is Khan. And I told JJ, I don't understand this. I don't like it. And then he's like, ignore it. Nobody likes it. I don't understand it. Do whatever you want. If you want it to happen the exact way it happened on the series, it can.
So that's more in line with what you're honoring the series that you loved and came up with.
Yes, exactly.
Clearly, Bad Robot aren't bound by any timelines. It's all about the alternate license, and that may have been an ulterior motive for Paramount to reject any new Star Trek movie from Bad Robot, no matter what it is about or who directs it.
Yeah, so there it
that's
is.
Probably, they know. That's probably right.
They know.
And you know what? They could do anything. Even if you go back to... All
Bad
to
Robot
do is,
can do anything as long as it's 25% different
right.
than the original.
Jar Jar knows exactly what's going on. He doesn't want to reveal that it's not part of the Enterprise that he's familiar with. That's the part that they're hiding. That's the part they're not explaining.
I respect Tarantino, though, for what he said.
Because he understood it was from the original. And was like,
yeah.
No. This is totally different. This is a different toilet.
It's
different. This is a different bathroom. Yeah.
It's totally different. I have something I should add, though. Did you notice what color the bad robot is?
It's red. Red and yellow eyes. Red face.
What's the color? And what happens to the red-shirted people on Star Trek?
Yeah. It's symbolic, isn't it?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's symbolic. They're about to get wiped out. Yeah. Unless you're Scotty.
Well, now he's going to have some... Apparently, he's going to... Now, JJ is maybe going to do DC.
Spreading his cancer everywhere.
So...
That's too bad, because... I mean, did you guys see Super 8? Wasn't J.J. Abrams involved in that movie? I thought it was a good movie.
It reminded me of a Spielberg movie. That's what it reminded me of.
I think he was involved with it.
Mm-hmm. Was he executive producer?
I think so.
And J.J. direct?
It didn't get much traction.
I thought not as much as you would expect.
But
I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, it reminded me of my youth. Because it was, you know, these kids are about the same age I was when the movie was set.
Well, one thing I'll defend J.J. on, J.J. gets accused, and I've accused him of it, of he's really good at taking the best things out of something and then cherry-picking it and producing, like, one product that is, and that's what he did with the sequel trilogy, taking the best of Star Wars and kind of, especially with The Rise of Skywalker, they tried a little bit too much to make that Star Wars' greatest hits. And cramming a bunch of
Force Awakens was kind of the greatest hits too.
Yeah, it was the same thing. It was a little bit of kind of cherry picking and making sort of the greatest hits of Star Wars. Well, JJ, same thing with Star Trek. You could accuse him of having done that a little bit with Star Trek. Khan, one of the most favorite villains of Star Trek. Let's go back to Khan instead of trying to do something different. But in a way, isn't that exactly what George Lucas and Steven Spielberg did back in the 80s? Didn't they just Spielberg, when they made Indiana Jones, that was a throwback to the old serial, like, movies.
But that was the motif. It wasn't so much of a, I didn't feel like they were stealing a story from their own story.
You think it was just with J.J. it's even more direct, where they were inspired by something. They were more inspired by something rather than just actually copying something.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Force Awakens kind of fell flat for me, because it just felt like the original New Hope Part 2.
That's exactly.
I mean, they're blowing up a fucking planet, and it's just not the, you know.
No, it's bigger.
So let me ask you this.
It's a little bigger. Someone dies along the way, so Han Solo dies versus Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So let me ask you. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's more the fault of the creators like JJ, or do you think it's the Hollywood executives that don't want to do anything new and different? They're trying to play it safe, and they won't. They're handcuffed. They can't go out and branch out and do some new stuff.
I think it's a little bit of both, because we have the internet now. You have all the fanboys out there trying to say this is what the movie should be,
right?
And then they,
well, sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're right.
And yeah. I'm not ragging on you specifically,
right,
Reed, although that is fun sometimes. What I'm talking about is they should come up with a new story that ties into the old story in a way that's not just basically it's almost like, hey, we're going to make Aladdin again for the fourth fucking time or Spider-Man. How many fucking times are we going to have a Spider-Man reboot?
Well, and that's why The Mandalorian possibly works so well, because it is a new story from that universe, but it's kind of a new story. It's some new ideas are in there.
It's a completely different story.
Yeah,
that's why Rogue One worked, because it tied into the original Star Wars.
Similar thing, yeah. It's tying into the original.
It tied in the original Star Wars, and so there's a little bit of, there's a relatable connection there.
Yeah.
But it was also a new story because, well, spoiler alert, everybody fucking dies. Everybody dies.
Yeah.
The main thing is you gotta understand
that's how
the
Red
whole,
5 dies.
The main thing you gotta understand is the rights. Once you understand who's control of the rights, that person is gonna be deciding what's happening. And that's the reason why the Star Trek's all fucked up, Star Wars all fucked up, because when Lucas left, everyone wanted to make him. Everyone wanted him to make more movies, but he wouldn't do it because he didn't have the finance to do it. But once he sold it, they were destined to make movies because they had to make the money back.
They had to, yeah.
So you're not going to get the same thing because the original people that created it are not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you get all those fucked up stories, all these rehashing reboots and fucking unsafe, not taking risks. That's the reason why it's a remake of New Hope, The Force Awakens,
yeah. Which is where if Lucas's ideas for the sequel trilogy was nothing like that. Mm-mm. It was going off into more of an original.
Whatever you see on Legends is what happened. That's what happened. Whatever's in Legends is what he wanted to do.
That's what he wanted to have the continuation.
But they didn't
want
that.
Yeah. It was going off in that direction.
Even if they had just gone further into the future or in the past, leave that part alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then same thing with everyone would have accepted, and everyone would have been fooled by STD, if they had not just, why you got to go back and redo that?
Right. If they had just gone into the future.
If you just gone in the future.
And started with new characters.
Totally would have tricked everybody.
Total new character.
Why did JJ have to do?
Nobody would know anything about the timeline.
Exactly.
So why didn't they do that? It was because they were trying to play it safe again.
Right.
Let's have familiarity. Because
they were trying to service the fanboys.
Yeah. Leonard Nimoy.
No, it's not that.
Leonard Nimoy in there.
It's fucking stupid. JJ had a chance to either go back in the past or go in the future, but he wanted to stick right. This is reinvent the wheel again. That's where you fail. That's where you fuck up.
Well, even Next Generation, even though it was going into the future, they still had some. They connected it to the original series, which they felt like they probably needed to do to please the old fans of the original show. So they would have guest McCoy was on there, the really old McCoy. And I don't know, did they have anybody else in the original series?
No, Scotty.
Scotty was on there. Right? Yeah, they had Scotty and McCoy. One of the best episodes, I think, was the Scotty.
Yeah, that was the Dyson Sphere. Yeah.
The Scotty episode. Yeah, that was a good one. I wouldn't mind going back.
In the movies,
that.
They brought in Kirk.
Yeah.
They brought him in.
Then they did the crossover with Kirk.
So that's the way you do it. But no, they had to fucking just redo everything and fuck everything up and not make any sense.
You know, another timeline I didn't even mention is the My Name is Jeff timeline. That's a whole other fucked up timeline.
Yeah, man, that's really fucked up.
Space, a final frontier.
My name is Jeff.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
My name is Jeff.
Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds.
My name is Jeff.
To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
That's terrible.
But my name is Jeff. Where you just hear that the background over everything that's happening.
And everything's 10 minutes behind.
He's saying that he's 10 minutes late for everything. Like so the timeline for the My Name is Jeff timeline is 10 minutes behind all other timelines, no matter what. Yeah. But only that. Only 10 minutes behind.
It's only 10 minutes. That's it. You can set your watch by it.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. And it's especially loud.
Oh, hey man, I was a theater kid, man. I can't help that.
No, I'm
I can't help my loudness.
I'm messing with you. We've got to feed the read.
Feed the read.
And it's feed the read. Feed the read. My name is Jeff.
Story time.
Oh, story time.
Reed's got some.
Oh, so you want to do an update on Luis Almeida?
You got some scoop. Luis Almeida, who's currently your roommate, right?
Yeah, because he was sleeping on my couch. Now I'm sleeping on his couch.
Now you
only seems fair.
You swapped couches.
Is it the same couch?
No, God no.
Is it like a dumpster dive couch?
Like it's in the dumpster. I took it to a dumpster.
No, I'm talking about Luis's couch. You're old.
No. I'm renting his son's in the Marines or in the Army actually. Is his room, but
so you rent it, you rent his son's room.
It's funny when I got to the house late one time and I saw his son on the couch because he's getting ready for drill. Mm-hmm. And I go, "There's a bum.
Hey, baby,
sleeping on the couch." No, I didn't.
He said that.
I said.
Oh. You said that.
There's a bum sleeping on the couch. He goes, "It's because there's a bum sleeping in my bed." That's what he told me.
Good. Touche.
Touche, sir.
Touche, sir. Yeah, got you there.
Well said, Sergeant. Well said. No, Luis back in
who's a very accomplished local actor
here
in Austin, Texas, has appeared in numerous movies and
number of movies and TV shows,
TV projects.
Well, yeah, no film projects, no
mostly,
TV shows,
mostly film.
Yeah, that's right, one TV show.
Well, though, he's
didn't
been
he
on
do that TV
one,
show where he was like a soccer player or something?
No. He did a drug dealer in
Narcos.
I think that's what I'm thinking.
No. He didn't. It's an older movie. Well, that was a Prison Break.
He shot something, right? Yeah, he shot Prison Break.
Didn't he shoot like a pilot or something?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, Reed.
Yeah.
Neil Dunn shut.
He was on the post. Done, shut the post. Up. The post-apocalyptic show on NBC, where mm-hmm. there was no power or the grids shut down.
Yes, that's right. He was on that one too.
But it was
that's
canceled right. after the first
yeah.
season.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But they had some very not some kind of off stuff on that, like the plot holes. The show had some plot holes, didn't?
Yeah, it wasn't. Didn't make a lot of sense.
Every TV show's got plot holes.
Every TV show's got plot holes.
So yeah. back in December, he
so
had
Star
audition.
Wars and Star Trek. To be honest,
certainly, yeah.
Yeah, done.
I'm done.
Almost.
I'm shut the fuck up.
Oh, go ahead and say something. Go ahead. Spit it out.
Back in December, he had auditioned for a short film, and he auditioned for the Preacher, right? For a Preacher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they said, we really want to use you, but we want to use you for something else. So they put him as a drug dealer, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's playing a drug dealer now. And
typecast.
So, yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah. He always gets the... And then he's done a lot of this. They told him basically it takes place in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. So he did research in El Salvador.
Filming here.
Yeah, filming here.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're going to go to El Salvador and film.
Pretty much the same.
And so he did the research and he found out that there aren't really cartels there, just gangs there.
Yeah.
So he kind of had the wardrobe. He kind of did the research and it's like just normal clothes, but they said they wanted to dress him differently. No, it was taking place in Mexico now. So they had to change. They had to, oh shit, I had to think, rethink my thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he did the part and he told me where it was at in Luling. And mm-hmm. so I said, oh, I'm going to go check it out. So he told me where it was at.
Oh, okay.
And I went over there.
The set,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was being nosy.
And it's supposed to look like El Salvador.
Mexico. They changed it.
Okay, parts of Luling do like El Salvador.
It was supposed to look like Mexico.
Yeah. Well, they had a marketplace.
Yeah.
And cool. The marketplace does look kind of like a fancy part of
that's
Mexico.
That's cool. Yeah.
So that was really cool. So I went out there and I saw it. I saw where they're filming. I
might
got some
smell
food.
Like El Salvador, too.
No, it's fine.
Luling smells bad, man.
Come what? On.
Luling smells bad. Have you not ever been to Luling?
I didn't know.
Yeah, I was there spying on them filming.
But did you think it smelled bad?
Luling has smelled bad since I was a child, man. I've gone through there a bazillion times.
Mm. You want to go ahead and tell your story about that?
Go ahead.
I'll just stop telling my story. Fuck Luis. Yeah, we'll fuck Luis in. All right. Tell the story.
Okay, Reed.
So, like I was fucking saying before, I got there and I was spying on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I'm just going to keep distance and watch him film.
While Luis is filming.
Yeah, they're filming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened to where... Terrible.
Did you use binoculars from far away?
No, I was there. I got close enough and I saw that
where
there
you could
were...
see, watch.
Yeah, extras, yeah. Extras holding. So I said, oh, those must be the extras. I'll go over there and hang out with them. And I didn't want to fuck with Luis. I didn't want to call him, hey, I'm over here. And I didn't know that shit. Leave him alone. Let him do his thing.
Yeah.
I'm over here.
You don't want to distract him.
They didn't want to distract him. So I went to go talk to the extras and I realized, oh,
does he know that you're lurking around?
No, I told him I was going to be there. Okay. That's why I asked him where it was at. So he told me where it was at.
Yeah.
So I noticed that they had, you know, the trucks and everything, the camera set up and everything. Mm-hmm. I saw what they were doing. And then I saw the catering, right? I said, those must be the extras.
Free services. Food.
Right, because that's where all the extras are hanging out. Free shit. So I walked over there, and I started be-nosing around, and I could see them, and I just kept my distance and hang out with them.
Yeah.
And then I started talking to them, and they were saying, I was asking them, I was just being nosy. And I said, hey, how'd y'all find out about this short? Or just filming, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, our lady told me, you know, she has contacts, whatever, and told us about this. We came to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she mentioned something about Fear of the Walking Dead. And I go, well, what? Fear of the Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my attention, and she's saying, yeah, I'm one of the zombies on there. And I was like, holy shit. I finally get to meet a zombie from the Fear of the Walking Dead. So I talked to her for about 20 minutes or so, and then she mentioned the other person over there, he's a zombie also. I go, him too. I go, holy shit, I met two zombies from Fear of the Walking Dead.
Who does the casting for the zombies?
She told me who it was. I forget. You can find it online,
was
actually.
Was it Beth Sepko?
No, I don't think it was her.
Third Coast or one of those?
I have no idea.
I don't even know if Third Coast is still around.
It's not.
So the main thing I want to...
Beth Sepko has been around for a
long time. The main thing I wanted to ask her was, did you go to zombie school? And she said, no. And she knew what I was talking about.
You asked her.
Yeah, because I knew about that.
They have that in Austin?
No, they had that in Georgia.
Yeah.
So I asked her, did you go to zombie school? She goes, no, they don't have that no more. And I was like, really? What do you... elaborate. And she goes, they used to have it, but they stopped because the turnaround of all these extras coming in and going, it was too much a waste of time. So I said, fuck it. There's too many people coming in, leaving, leaving.
So no zombie school.
No zombie school. So they actually train them on the job. So she told me, I asked her, because I was being real nosy.
Do you think that lowers the quality of the zombies?
They're not no, well, I don't think so, because you know, you don't have to train that much for a zombie. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So she basically, it was funny how she said, they said, well, what's your inspiration to be a zombie? How do you, what's your, you know, like, what's your... What's your thing, right?
For as actor, yeah.
Right, as an actor, you're an extra.
What do you derive to get ready for that?
I go, just remember, just pretend you're, you know, drunk, really drunk, and you're walking home. And that was that was all they said. And she told me also, the further back you are from the camera, they have your clothes and everything, right? Mm-hmm. And they dirty over time, yeah. And then they put makeup on your face, but not a whole lot.
Right.
The closer you are to camera, the more makeup you get.
The more makeup you get.
Yeah, and she explained that, and I was like, oh, cool. So I was asking her all these questions, because I was really intrigued by it, because I was like, yeah, I was telling her about how I was stalking the locations where they filmed and everything. And she goes, oh, that must be you. And I go, no, she's joking around. And so it was really nice to talk
but
to
you
her.
You weren't the only one stalking locations. There were other people that were stalking locations.
Yeah, of course.
They were just actual zombies.
So it was really cool to meet them. Too. I thought it was really neat. And then after they let him go for lunch, and then Luis came out, and Luis told me later on, he goes, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be doing this anymore. I go, what do you mean?
Doing what anymore?
That shot he was doing, right?
That character?
So, the character he was doing,
the,
right.
The role.
The role. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, nah, I got a feeling that, it's not going to work out.
They're going
like,
to cut it? They're going to cut it?
They're going to cut him out.
Oh.
And
it didn't seem like it was going well to him.
He knew right away. So it was really funny. When I got there, I saw one of the extras. He was near the camera. So, he must be one of the background extras. Mm-hmm. That's the drug dealers, a henchman or whatever. And I asked him, I was like, what's going on here? Just being nosy.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, that guy over there, he's the main, I was like, yeah. I didn't want to tell him I knew him, right?
Right.
Because I was going to play that part, but he got the part. The guy said that, right?
That's what the guy said.
Yes.
Oh.
And he was a Mexican dude with a cowboy hat.
He had auditioned for it and didn't get it.
Didn't get it.
So he was there as an extra.
He was there as an extra background, as one of the henchmen instead.
Sure.
Right? So he didn't get it. So I found out later on, I didn't mention anything to him that I knew him. That's my buddy. I didn't.
Right.
Not going to say nothing. Not going to say nothing. So I went back, and then Luis told me what was going on. And so the guy who's playing the father, mm-hmm. right? He's basically what's going on is Luis goes there, his character goes there, hey, where's my money? I'm going to take your two sons if you don't give me my money. So the idea is that two sons go to the United States, and we have all this, crossing
the
border.
Plot line.
That's the plot line of the whole story.
This is for a short film.
Yeah, short film.
Yeah.
The one thing I noticed about the short film, so it's only 10 minutes long.
He thinks he's going to get cut or recast. What is he?
Recast.
Because
This
is kind of like
we
couldn't, the back
we
the
have
future,
no idea.
Marty McFly.
Yeah, we have no idea what's going on or reason why.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the director wasn't like, it's not working out.
Yeah.
It's not working out. Or it could be the actor complaining about his accent and his Spanish. That could be it, too.
Which actor complaining about
Luis. The actor playing the father complaining about Luis's accent or his Spanish. That could be it, too.
Wow.
We don't know.
We don't know. Speculation.
It's speculation. But it doesn't matter because it's their baby. It's their film. They can do what they want.
Right.
But he still got paid for it. Or he's going to get paid for it.
He should. As he should.
He should. Right. He did the work.
Yeah, exactly. He did the work. Right. And so after that was done, we went ahead and left.
And that's good. That's good that they're still going to pay him.
They're still going to pay him.
They're not going to
But I was problems. Really I was really impressed by the setup, though. I was impressed by the setup because I go, this is not just an ordinary short film.
Yeah.
They have some backing. I noticed they have some serious backing.
Yeah, sounds
backing.
Like it from what you're talking about.
Right. And so I was so it was really
and
I
they're
thought
paying,
maybe
they're paying actors that
they're
alone.
They're paying them, right.
That alone is
So I thought maybe that maybe this is some kind of short pilot that they're trying to push for a movie.
Well, you know, and what's
Netflix.
Happening? You know what's happening now too? Is that there's this new, I don't know if you call it an app or a streaming service,
mm-hmm.
that is going to do all short-based
right.
content.
Right, exactly. There is a market
for it.
There is a market.
Quibi? Quibi?
Yeah, and this is not some fly-by-night. This is a, financially, it's backed by lots of money.
Yes.
When is that officially going to roll out? Like later in the year?
It's been around for a
sometime,
while.
I'm not sure if it's already launched or if it's just in beta stages or if it's just in marketing right now. But they are running commercials for it.
Yep.
And we were talking about Hemsworth. Well, Chris, they've got some big-name actors that they're paying big money to get
that's
big,
right.
big-name actors.
The
in
guy,
these.
I'll tell you about the
Chris Hemsworth is in one of them.
Wow.
Because some other big-name actors. But yeah, it's all short content, but on a big budget scale.
Bring a big name in.
So the idea is this is content for people to watch when they're taking a shit.
So that's
this is
people don't realize
a movie you can watch. On
so while I'm taking my Quibi, I can watch one.
Exactly.
A movie.
Yeah.
People don't realize deal? That the short films
so
are
maybe
actually, there's a market.
It could be something like that. Maybe they're wanting to do, try to get it pitched to be in something like that.
So after we were done there.
So how do they make money?
Well, it's a subscription. You got to pay. You have to pay like Netflix. You got to pay for a service. Now that's what I have a question about.
Yeah, how they make
can
money.
That? Can
that's
that,
what I couldn't figure out too.
Well, no, they said there's going to be a fee, a monthly fee. Mm. But I'm like, is people really going to pay
for short stories?
When they can get those short stories off of YouTube?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my question. Is that going to really work? And I have questions about that.
I'm actually glad to see that there's something. Go ahead, Reed. I'm sorry.
You done?
No.
Shut the fuck up.
I was going to interrupt you, but I won't get a chance.
The one thing I know, we looked up the director and the stuff she's done. She's done commercials before, too. So she has done stuff.
She's done some stuff.
Yeah. So there, all these people, that's something I was really impressed by that.
It sounds like a real serious production.
Yeah. So we after he was done pretty much, we had to go back to holding, right? Where they're actually, it's an old, the city of Luling took over the National Guard building that was there.
Okay.
And the reason why I knew that is because when we got there, I was like, this building looks familiar. Yeah. I've been to one because I wasn't one. And then when I got into the main bay, I was like, this is a National Guard building. I was like, I wonder where the armory is at. That's what I was thinking. So when I walked in, mm-hmm. you know those pins that everyone's seen, all the Mexicans in those pins? Behind the fences,
yeah.
Those cages. They had two of those there.
Absolutely.
And I was like, you gotta have
a brig. You're on a National Guard. You're gonna have a brig, man.
No. The ones you see on the news, like all the kids and all
yes,
the family.
I know. Yes.
Okay.
There's
two of them there.
PlayStations in them. Yes, I know.
I was really impressed that, damn, that looks fucking real.
They have PlayStations inside them?
Some of them.
Yes, yeah. I was kind of making a joke.
So when I walked around, I noticed this is a National Guard building because I saw the patch that belonged to this unit that was here on the floor, on the front doors when you come in. Mm-hmm. There are division patches on the floor there.
It's embossed.
Embossed in the concrete. Right? Mm-hmm. I saw it there. I was like, oh, shit, it is. It was, I think it was One Tough Hombre, I think it was. Or was it 4th ID? I forget which division it was. So after we turned this stuff in, mm-hmm. I took pictures of the cage. And when you post it on Facebook, I'll put the pictures up there of the cages.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we saw that, I took pictures and I left. And we left and we went to go eat dinner at Red Rock. And that was it.
Is this being had repurposed at some point as one of those, what do they call those centers where they round everyone up and they...
A fusion center?
Real thing, yeah.
Is that a fusion center?
There's a fusion center where that's where all the think tank people are doing all of the Project Echelon stuff and listening to your information.
I was really impressed by their setup. I was really impressed by the production, yeah.
No, I mean, the cages were there for the production, correct?
Yes. Now we're catching along. Why don't y'all shut the fuck up when I'm telling a story, goddammit. You don't fucking get it.
Well, I just needed to interrupt you because it's fun to fuck with you, man.
I enjoy it, too.
And his name is Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
Your working title?
There you go. It was called Hermanos, which is Spanish for brothers. Yeah. I was impressed. I was really impressed with their production value.
Well, and there's a lot of ways now for creators to get like a shot.
I got to follow a story on that, too.
To get a shot like of their work being mm-hmm. looked at. I mean, Amazon does this thing every year, Amazon Prime.
Well, Netflix does it, too.
Yeah, where you can compete and submit mm-hmm. ideas or concepts for a potential pilot.
Yeah, yeah. Netflix has it, too. There was another thing happened to Luis, too, was after we were done, we ended up doing an audition for Fear the Walking Dead again.
Yeah.
And I had to sign another disclosure not to talk about
another NDA.
You were reading lines with him again.
Again. This is the second time. So he auditioned and no word yet. Mm-hmm. But I won't talk about that until maybe a long time from now. I'll tell you what the scene was about.
Okay. So we can't, can't take, can't, you got to, you signed a non-disclosure.
Another one.
So he's auditioned. Does he know if he's been cast for?
No word yet. We'll see what happens.
So it's still a chance he could be cast.
And then I talked to Patty, and Patty was telling me that they're actually filming at the pits in Georgetown. The
mm-hmm. and you talking about it in the gravel?
Yeah.
Gravel pits?
Yeah. In Georgetown, what are they called? Yeah,
the dam.
No.
If you're in between
the Caliche,
it's a Caliche pit.
Yeah,
but it is
the one in Georgetown. Mm-hmm. They're filming Fear in that right now.
So they're still here in the area.
Yeah,
filming.
And they actually filmed in Ghost Town, which is out towards Manor.
Manor, yeah.
Now Manor, remember during South by Westworld built a building there, a church. What's in there? Is that a 3D printed head?
It's a shaker, man. I'm a musician.
Jeff has got a shaker that looks like it's a red skeleton.
It's Red Skull, man.
That's pretty cool.
It's Red Skull. It's from Marvel.
It's cool looking.
Is that yours?
Yeah, it's mine.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I like that.
It's cool looking, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so they actually used Ghost Town for filming for Fear also. Patty was telling me about that.
Oh, I didn't. Well, that's
Ghost
appropriate.
Town. Yeah, they used that place. It's where, remember the guy we had on?
Justin Kirchhoff.
Kirchhoff did a short film there a long time ago just to kind of demonstrate his talent.
Mm-hmm.
Or so, I think he did a film there or something like that with
HBO.
Fernando, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the other thing he did. So he went there during South By to tell us about that. And that's when we heard about that. Mm-hmm. Patty was telling me that they actually built more onto the location. Mm-hmm. And it's cut off. No one can go into the building because it's a Fear of the Walking Dead building. And so they cut it off. They said no one access for this building. So, they built more set. They built more on that location. So that's current, and plus Georgetown's current too. They're doing that also.
That guy's always working on some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Justin Kirchhoff. Yeah, he stays busy.
That's all I have as far as Fear and what Luis did, which is an interesting story. And
he still has a chance. He may still end up on Fear of the Walking Dead.
I hope so.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Because I think it really encourages me. I'm just really happy to see that people can still do short films and it's still feasible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like with him going to Luling and doing that. I was like, that really impresses me. Like when we talk shit about movies and stuff, but we know to make it happen takes a lot of effort. And I'm never going to forget that, or I'm going to appreciate that, obviously, in any of these shit films that we see.
Well, and what's cool about it is I think now there's even more ways. It's a little bit different how you go about after you make it. Mm-hmm. And you used to be, it automatically, you make a short film, you hope that maybe you could get into some film festivals to get it recognized and maybe get some work from that.
But the only problem is that if you do it, don't do it to make money. Do it because you want, but if it kills you where it breaks the bank,
right?
Don't do that. But if you want to do film to do film, do it
because you love it, you enjoy it.
Yes,
it's fun for you.
But
just think, Kevin Smith did Clerks for $27,000.
That's not bad. That's
back
in the 90s. But it was even though it wasn't great acting, there were some parts of that movie that were goddamn funny.
Yeah,
Clerks is awesome.
And
black and white too is really cool.
Yeah. And then you had
Mallrats.
No, I'm thinking of the Duplass brothers doing Puffy Chair.
And Dan Murphy.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Our rest in peace, our old friend Dan Murphy was always talking about the brothers.
When I did the JFK movie, Parkland, Mark Duplass was in that.
What are they doing now? They're still doing some pretty big. They're doing some pretty big stuff now.
They're doing a TV show.
Yeah, that's what I recall hearing.
Most recently, and it was on HBO.
Uh-huh.
Damn.
And it was like an episodic TV show, and it was kind of like something about being in a hotel room that was kind of spooky or something like that. But it was also comical. It was a black comedy.
And Dan's worked with them. Used to work with them on
many times. He knew them personally.
Do you think he would have been if Dan was still here today?
He'd be working.
Would he be working with him? You think?
No doubt.
If apparently they had a good rapport.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Wow. So I wouldn't be surprised if he had maybe not gotten pulled into something that they were doing.
Well, I mean, half of the times he couldn't do shoots because he was doing cancer treatment. So
and so
he would have to bump. But yeah, the fact that Duplass came up to me on the on the set. We were just shooting the shit. I said, "Hey, you might have known one of my buddies," and he was talking about Dan.
Yeah,
he's like, "Oh yeah," he's like, "Yeah, he gave money to us on the Puffy Chair." I was like, "Yeah,
yes.
What? That's what you're telling me?
He's
the other day.
Yeah,
he donated for that.
Dan used to. Damn. That's the thing people don't know is he used to donate money to small films all the time.
He was
the silent benefactor.
I went to the Valley to see that Bubblegum King.
Yeah.
You weren't with...
No, I was... I wouldn't... Because
I went down there with me, P-Funk, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just the three of us, yeah.
To go to a screening?
Yeah, the three of us went down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't finally see Bubblegum King until it was actually on one of the streaming.
Same here. I watched it on streaming.
It's okay.
So, but that was because they completely re-edited it.
Better. It was better.
The streaming version's better?
Yeah. Oh, it's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama behind that, too. Mm-hmm. Remember we tried to get
Yes, we tried to get
Paris
him on.
Out here, but he's scared.
Yeah.
It's a love letter to his dad, is what it is.
Yeah.
And, when you talk about the whole money in Mexico thing, it's like, oh, don't talk about that, don't talk about that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he didn't. And I asked him about it later on, and he goes, yeah, it's true.
Now what to backtrack and
see
and
back then,
reset that. This is the Bubblegum King. It's a documentary about the guy that started this bubblegum empire down in South Texas.
I think he was Valley. Well, this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think he was smuggling cigarettes and doing other stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's probably some other side business.
But
some
I think
wacky tobacco perhaps
But that's not covered in the documentary.
No.
Not really, no. That's allegedly. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, when back then in the 40s and 50s, the tax rate for rich people back then
I'm going to email him and tell him he just listened to this episode.
No.
John Paris would probably sue you for this.
No, I know. But the back then...
Didn't he try to sue Dan?
Was there something between him and some? Well, let's not. We don't want to
come on.
No, we don't.
No. So basically, back then, the people who were millionaires got taxed like 90%. It was crazy.
That's true.
High taxes.
But there were a lot of loopholes.
Yeah,
but it was still
a lot of loopholes. So he said, "Fuck that! I'm going to Mexico. Take my money, Mexico." Uh-huh. And so when the fucking peso plummeted,
yeah,
boom, lost it all. Mm. That's what happened. And so the IRS knew that. And the IRS tried to get him for that, and they never could because the money wasn't there. It was gone.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck.
And they get into some of the IRS stuff in the movie.
Yes.
Well,
Dan plays an IRS
guy, ironically.
That's the reason why I brought it up, because Dan was on there, yeah.
And he was great at that.
Yeah.
He was really good, man.
Being all sneaky and shit.
Yeah. That might have been his greatest role.
Yeah. Dan being all sneaky.
I don't know, man. Well, I think maybe zero midichlorian.
Yeah,
that's funny.
One midichlorian,
because you really you never hear him.
Jedi.
He doesn't have audio in that movie at all, so he's just mouthing, and his actions are what does it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's what's funny. Oh
yeah. Another thing that has zero midichlorians is agree or disagree.
Oh, I thought he was going to say my name is Jeff again.
My name is Jeff.
That would have been true.
Yeah. Well, that too. Agree or disagree for those asses. On this 118th episode, are you ready? Reed Charles and
no.
Jeff Painter.
Yes. As long as I can interrupt Reed. Yes.
Always okay. Number one. So I've been starting to, little by little, starting to let my son watch a little bit of like...
porn?
No. God, no.
Oh,
what kind of dad would I be showing a 2.5-year-old porn? Jeff Painter, I would have child protection showing up at my house now because of this podcast. I should let him watch a little bit of videos. We have a Roku box now, which, by the way, I recently had a conference call with a guy. He's based, I think, near Abilene, Texas, and he sets people up that want to have their own Roku channels. Want to start their own Roku channels.
Oh, God, that's probably thousands of them.
Yeah, basically what you do is you pay them like a fee to help they help you like kind of set it up. They're like a platform that helps you set it up, and then you can go. So they say it's better to go into like niches. Like they said, one of the most successful ones that they set up was a sewing channel. Mm. It was all about sewing and knitting. Mm. So old people like to watch it, I guess.
Wow, that sounds like watching paint dry. I'm sorry.
Let's go to DTube, man.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So anyway, I did kind of curiosity. I sat down and had a meeting with him about what it would take and what the potential is of marketing it and advertising and stuff. But anyway, Roku, we just recently got a Roku box. Mm-hmm. And I pull up a little bit and show my son a little bit of YouTube, like mostly like stuff that he's interested in watching, like Paw Patrol, you know, that's big with kids now. Mm-hmm. A little bit of like Mickey Mouse, Elmo, stuff like that, stuff that he's into. So
Elmo's like crack, man, for babies.
It is. It is.
It's almost cracked.
It's a little scary.
It's a lot scary.
So here's
the guy's a child molester too, man.
Elmo is?
He's a guy who plays the character, yeah.
Really?
No.
Yes. The guy who does.
Oh!
Where the fucking. The guy does a voice.
Elmo?
He's a child molester.
Is that a fact?
Yes, it is.
Or is it alleged?
I think it's alleged.
Let's look it up.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll look it up later. Anyway, proceed.
We'll look that up later. Okay. So anyway, so those properties that 2.5-3-year-olds are interested in, I'll pull up. And I don't show them a lot. We have a limit. I'll do like a half an hour a day. I'll show them a few videos and then just to entertain them for half an hour. Because when you got it, you know, you remember, Jeff, when you got a 3-year-old, there's hours a day where you don't know what you kind of like. You're trying to entertain them.
At times, when you're trying
to figure out new ways to entertain them.
Yeah, put the kid in front of 8 hours TV babysitter's perfect, man. I'm kidding, obviously. Yeah. I never did that shit.
So, but it's different. But it's different now.
What? Put equations in front of him or something.
Well, we do. We listen to music. We read books.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, we spend a lot more time reading books and talking about dinosaurs and bugs and and science.
That's cool
stuff. Yeah. Yeah, but then break up the monotony of life, we'll watch a few videos on YouTube too. But here's the thing.
Yeah, let's bring those IQ points down, right?
Yeah. When we
son. Bring it down a notch.
Wait a minute.
Gotta get back to my level.
Baby Buddha.
Well, some of the songs are pretty good because he learns how to sing the songs, the lyrics to songs that play on the YouTube.
Learning lyrics is a good thing.
Learning lyrics and music, learning about music and guitar playing and pianos. And yeah. So that's Barney. That's not Elmo. That's Barney. One of the things I noticed is, like, when we were growing up, we didn't have this on-demand entertainment to the level that there is now, like, where you can, if you were Roku, you can dial up YouTube and you can put anything you want up on your TV.
It's a portal.
Like that. Except for the video I was trying to find just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, except that.
Except a video I actually own and produced and Dan Murphy was in. I couldn't find that video. But other videos, you can pull them up anytime you want. So I've noticed already how it's changed his perception on how he expects to watch and consume stuff. And he's not even 3 years old yet. So when I put on the regular TV, that's just the regular TV with commercials, he's already looking at commercials as being kind of an inconvenience.
Well, he's a smart kid.
Yeah, he's like,
he's probably like 145 IQ already.
So he's already, you know what he said? I pulled up something after watching YouTube one day. I pulled up something on the TV. We were watching the aquarium on Animal Planet.
Okay.
The aquarium is a behind the scenes about the largest aquarium museum in the country. It's in Georgia, and it's about the behind the scenes how they were this particular episode. There was some penguin they were doing surgery on because it was injured. It was a baby penguin, and it was born with an injury or something. So they were trying to save its life. Mm. So we were watching that, and he loves fish. He loves
probably good eating.
He loves. Oh, my name is Jeff. Anyway, he's watching the aquarium, and then a commercial comes on. He said, "Oh, I hate commercials."
He said
they
that.
Ruin the mood. Yeah,
I hate commercials. He said, "Commercials make it." He was like telling me, "Make the commercials go away. Make the commercials go away." Yeah. So he literally said, "He's not even 3 years old yet." So here's my question for you: do you agree or disagree that within the next 10 to 15 years, network TV, commercial TV as we know it, is going to be a dinosaur? It's going to be completely extinct. Like, it's not going to sustain because the way kids now will be raised will be on streaming, on YouTube, on demand. And so you try to put them in front of a commercial, they're going to be like, what the hell is this? Because I already see it happening with my son. Do you agree or disagree that streaming platforms will replace, like, the CBS's, NBC, ABC's, those are going to completely go away?
You have to understand why those commercials are, right?
Well, they pay for the programming. But when you get like a Netflix subscription, you pay a subscription fee so you can get streaming content.
You can pay more.
Commercial.
No more commercials. Right?
Commercial free. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And cable, to a certain degree, we've had premium channels of cable for years where you could do that with premium channel cable.
Yeah.
But are kids going to get so conditioned to watching stuff that's streaming that they're not going to want to watch network TV when they get to be at an age where they're kind of making their own decisions on what they're going to watch and not watch? Is the programming going to have to go all subscription, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
In 10 years, no. In 10 years, I would say no. I think it's going to be pretty much the same. I don't think we're going to have flying cars either.
Right. Probably not.
But I think in...
We will have flying fucks, though.
Well, if you give them.
If you give them, yeah. Ba-dum-bop.
Yeah. Maybe in 20 or 20, I could be wrong, man. I'm speculating.
Well, I think more like 15 years from now. Because look at this: NBC's launching Peacock, which is their streaming service.
Yeah. Wait,
everyone has one now.
Yeah, CBS has CBS, which we've been talking about. CBS Access,
Disney Plus.
There's Disney Plus. There's which is the other one? NBC. NBC has Peacock. ABC has Disney Plus because they're part of Disney.
Netflix is one too.
Netflix is one, and then there's HBO Max that Warner Brothers is going to be launching.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah,
is that HBO. Like HBO and Cinemax?
It's going to be, I guess it's from the same companies.
See, the thing is, these companies need revenue, and the best way to make revenue is through ad agencies, and that's the reason why they're there. And so
I think eventually, though, it's like, Reed said, you know, they have to get the revenue from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. They have to, that's what pays for the product.
If they're not going to, it's not about worrying about the inconvenience of a commercial interrupting
a show. It's the money
that they're worried about losing. And so if they're going to have a paid subscription as a way to offset any losses that they're going to have.
YouTube's doing
because a lot of people are pulling the plug. Mm-hmm. All I know is cable for me. used to cost a couple hundred bucks.
Jesus.
Easy,
Christ.
Yeah.
And if you have high speed internet and you had you know, all the cable channels and all the movie channels and all that other shit,
mm-hmm.
yeah, easy. You get to a couple hundred bucks.
Just on a basic, that's without premium channels.
And if you have all the premium channels, it's going to add another 60 or 70 bucks.
Yeah.
But if you just have internet and you're running Netflix and you have an antenna, even with pretty damn high-speed internet,
you're still out about 80 bucks on the internet.
70 or 80 bucks.
Yeah. You're still out on that to get the internet, the high-speed, which everybody, pretty much most people want at least the internet.
I don't care for, like, you know, for me, as long as I have internet, that's all I care. And whatever I can get on internet, I'll just live with that.
Yeah, whatever you can get on your...
I'm not, you know, I don't give a shit about any of those fucking paid subscriptions. I'm going to watch all the movies and all the TV shows eventually for free. I don't care.
Well, that smells stink-a-whiff.
But the thing is that people like me mm-hmm. that don't like, I think, where I don't pay for shit.
Well, I can see why.
Well, yeah. a lot of people share passwords too. So for like every.
But you think the thing, money is the main thing. Well, YouTube, you can put an ad blocker on YouTube, and any video you watch, that person's not getting money because of that. That's what I do,
right.
Because I don't want to see commercials.
Yeah, you don't want to see.
So I put an ad blocker.
You grew up with commercials.
Yeah.
But you still don't want to see.
Don't want to see commercials. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
I can live with seeing a 5-second commercial. The thing that drives me crazy is when you go to like a news or a major media website,
right.
And you're going to watch a 15-second clip from a news clip, and you got to watch a 45-second commercial.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
bullshit.
As long as longer than the actual content.
Longer than the actual content. That's wrong.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, I think they're going to have to find new ways to get the commercial in front of you, because I had DVR for a little while. And I would watch football games, and I would record them and watch them kind of delayed, so I could fast forward through the commercials. And then
makes the game go faster.
Yeah, and then if I wanted to, and of course we know how slow an NFL game moves with all the timeouts and instant replays and whatnot. But I would pause it when I wanted to go take a shit or go to the bathroom. If I didn't want to go to the bathroom and I just wanted to pause, I'd just fast forward through the commercials. I think people are going to do more and more of that now. People are going to wear it. Start wearing Depends.
Yes, yeah,
it's all about the money. Like how YouTube needs money because they give out so much money. So they have to. That's why they have the ads. That's why
they have
commercials.
To have, yeah. Well, I think they're going to be. I think, unfortunately, I think there's going to be a lot more ads integrated, like they do with football now, mm-hmm. where they show you an ad split screen during the game. Like if there's a timeout, they won't maybe not go to a commercial, but they'll put a commercial at the bottom corner.
They do it all. See what's I've seen that too, and I think Sarah and I have made fun of it. To where they put the commercial in and it takes up half the screen.
Yeah.
And you're watching the show, but the fucking shit's going in front.
And then
it was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Why is it? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Damn. It's fucking hilarious.
Well, and they don't even, now, like on the end credits of shows, they even like old classic TV shows, they just go split screen and they start running some commercials in there, even if it's just to advertise other shows that are going to be on later.
Yeah.
But they don't let you see the show anymore, the close of the show. They go to that. So kids now that didn't see those classic shows when they originally aired or even when they were reran years ago, they're not seeing the way they were intended to be shown.
Well, you know what they used to do years ago when they would do a rerun? Would cut out part of the show so they could put the commercial.
They've been doing that for years, on some shows.
He was like, hey, where's the scene with such and such and such and such? It used to happen on MASH all the time.
You know what the worst is the Wonder Years, because the Wonder Years was such a great show, but it had a ton of music in there from the 60s. Mm. You remember the old watching Wonder Years, the original, when you originally watched it, and how much soundtrack was in there? It was chock full of tons. So when they came out with box sets like DVDs of that show, remember the big DVD explosion back in the early 2000s and late 90s, where people were buying seasons of these old shows? Well, people were going to buy the Wonder Years and they were disappointed because a lot of that music was edited out of the DVDs.
Because they didn't have a license.
The licensing would have cost them, it would cost you several hundreds of dollars to buy a box set with all the music still in there.
God, fuck that.
Because of all the licensing. So when it's rerun on TV, they it's like some random generic song you've never heard of that sounds kind of 60s-ish, but it's sort of just like some generic song they put in there.
Well, they had the same problem when they were doing Beavis and Butthead. So when they went out and did box sets, they weren't even showing they were showing the episode, but they weren't showing the clips where Beavis and Butthead were making fun of the video.
So you would see them making fun of it, but they wouldn't show you what they were making fun of.
Well, no, they wouldn't even show that scene at all.
They just cut
the whole thing out.
Oh, and that was like some of the best parts of the Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, that was absolutely the best part. So you could tell which movies, which videos they actually like, because they would make fun of the ones that they liked the most.
See, and people don't understand, because what it is, that's rights. That's what Star Trek's about. That's what's going on with Star Trek. That's what's all that shit's about.
Well, here's the thing, and here's the thing with Beavis and Butthead. I think that when those videos, like those old rock, those are rock videos that were in those Beavis and Butthead shows, like hair bands and stuff. Kids that would watch those Beavis and Buttheads would learn about some music that they didn't know about, and they, it would maybe encourage them to go out and download, buy the song. Or
Twisted
go,
Sister, what's that?
It's like, that was kind of cool. I like it. I'm going to go get a Twisted Sister CD now.
I'm going to get a Twisted Sister pin on my uniform.
That too. So I think it sells music to newer generation. Mm-hmm. It's like an advertisement. So I think sometimes they could cut them a break and let, even in the Wonder Years, some of that music would sell because of being on the Wonder Years. That wouldn't necessarily have sold otherwise.
Yeah, that was a classic show. And playing even more classic music.
It's even better show when it's playing the classic music in the show instead of just some generic show.
I guess I agree with that they're going to come up with something.
Yeah. So you agree they're going to have to come up with something else?
Disagree,
Jeff? Or you
think? I think it's not going to happen in 10 years because
later.
I think it's going to be later.
Later,
because that ship, it's a big ship. You know, these big dinosaur medias.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So turning that ship around and then adjusting the way they do their commercials or the way they're making money. This is going to take a long time, and they may hit an iceberg first.
Well, you know what they may do?
But you need commercials, though.
If they all have streaming services, they may just ramp up the commercials and make even more commercials to get you to drive you crazy and make you pay for the streaming platform.
to get the commercials.
It might turn out to be a tactic to get you to pay for the.
But you also remember the
people, they need their revenue. That's why
the people that are watching these old movies or old television regular television shows on old style media where they have the commercials. In the middle of all of that.
Yeah.
Well,
those are cool, actually. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they put those commercials in so people would have a potty break, man.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, I use those for potty breaks. Yeah. Or going to the refrigerator to make a sandwich.
Yeah.
Rolling a joint, whatever you're doing.
Whatever it is you're doing, yeah.
Or, you know.
Or roll something. I don't know if it's a joint, but I rolled on something. I rolled my hand down something. Okay.
And this is how babies are born.
Number two, there has been an outcry on social media.
Oh, every day. Yes.
That's true. Every day.
I agree.
Every hour. But this time it's regarding the fact that Joker lost for Best Picture.
Oh,
On the Academy Awards. What happened? Yeah. And some people are frustrated because they're saying the movie that won
Parasite?
Parasite.
Yeah. Parasite that won for Best Picture. A lot of people are upset because they're saying that, wait a minute, this is a foreign language film.
What the fuck, man?
It has a category. There's a category for foreign
language. I don't watch a movie because I have to read it. I want to watch a movie and I don't have to read, okay? I watch a movie because my eyeball is looking at the movie and my ears are I'm not, I gotta read.
Well,
now.
And that's your prerogative. Some people
I don't want to read.
I gotta read now.
Some people don't
I gotta read when I fucking look at a movie.
Read.
Fuck that.
Some people don't like subtitled movies, but
I don't bother.
It doesn't bother me if I like,
because I don't know how to read.
If I'm interested in the story. But here's the thing: do you agree or disagree that it's unfair that that movie was included in the actual Best Picture?
It's bullshit.
When it was actually a foreign film,
I agree. It's bullshit. Yes.
I don't care either way.
It doesn't matter to you.
It doesn't matter to me because I mean, okay. There's two.
Where was that wall? Where was that wall that Trump promised us?
Mexico still hadn't paid for it yet, and it fell down the other day too.
The wall fell down.
Part of the new wall in California fell down. I'm not kidding.
Did David Hasselhoff sing on the top of it afterwards?
Yes.
After they brought it down?
Yes, something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's bullshit, man.
No, it did. The wall fell down.
I don't care about the wall. It's a fucking movie. It's bullshit.
I'm talking about a freedom. Did you ever see David Hasselhoff sing on the Berlin Wall after they brought it down?
No.
The day.
Yeah, because he's a big star in Germany, man.
He was wearing a suit that lit up, like blinked lights.
Yes, it's true.
I'm talking about a freedom. Okay,
take care.
I'll pull this up.
You need to pull up. You pull up "Do," because it's his little German big hit in Germany.
He was a huge star in Germany.
Yeah, dude. Pull up "Do."
Pink also is big too.
Really, Pink's huge in Germany. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Hitler was big too back then.
Yes,
back in the day.
Well,
He's a big thing back then.
He was a big, yeah, he was a different kind of big deal. Some people would compare him to Hasselhoff in terms of the trauma that it might have caused. No.
Wow.
Well, that's
so
wrong.
Go back to
no,
the Joker. Go back to the Joker thing. So the Joker, you're saying the Joker didn't get best movie.
So do you agree, disagree that people are right that the film should not have been included in there?
Should not have been included.
Okay. All right. To be fair, it can't be in both categories. Yeah. It could be in one or
best
the other.
Best foreign.
It could be in, if it's the best picture.
Because it was in two categories, two films.
Bullshit.
It shouldn't be in both. It shouldn't
be.
It shouldn't be in both. Now, there have been movies that were foreign films that were up for best picture.
Right, but they weren't in the foreign film
category.
You're
not beating American
film. But then
they
weren't in the. Oh, I don't. No. See, that part I don't care.
No.
What's that?
Best film should be an American film.
Well.
Or at least where you speak in English.
Well,
I don't have to fucking read watching a movie because I can't read fast.
Well, Jeff, what do you think about what Reed said? What's your?
I disagree with Reed, but that's okay. I mean, that's not the first time I've disagreed with Reed. Disagree with Reed.
That's bullshit, man.
But I don't think it should be in both categories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's double dipping. It's kind of like if you're an actor, to me.
It's like being nominated for. Is it like if you're an actor? Is it like it's like if Brad Pitt had been nominated for Best Supporting Actor and Best Actor for the same movie in the same role? Is that kind of the same idea?
That's the way I see it.
Because Brad Pitt won for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right.
For a supporting actor, he won.
Cool.
So, but he could have easily been nominated. I thought for Best Actor because, in my opinion, I thought
that goes to the lead.
Well, I thought it was a co-lead.
Yeah. But what's his name? But DiCaprio is supposed to be the main lead.
He got the nomination. He didn't win, but he got the nomination for Best Actor. By the way, Gary Kent, who's been here before on the podcast, that character that Brad Pitt plays in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Loosely based on Gary
Kent. So, and of course, they didn't ever publicly mention Gary Kent during the promotion of the film or winning the Oscar for Best Actor. Never talked about Gary Kent, but yeah, it's very obvious. Anyone that knows the story of Gary Kent knows. You see that film, you know that. Oh, that's his story. Yeah, wow. Like the whole thing with the Charles Manson, the Bruce Lee story, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's changed here and there, a little here and there.
Yeah, because it's for dramatic effect.
So he actually went to the camp where...
Yeah, he went there.
Oh, that really happened.
But it was a little different.
Really?
It was a little different because the story was... But it was very similar. It just kind of turned around.
You're talking about going to Spawn Valley?
Spawn Ranch.
Wow. Spawn Ranch, I mean? Yeah. Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember you now.
So number three.
Oh, there's a third question. Wow. Okay. Oh, shit. I disagree. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Okay, so number three. So Corey Feldman, who has been talking about and hyping his documentary for quite a long time, that he was going to get this documentary made. He actually has gotten the documentary made now. And the documentary... Wow.
Don't touch me there.
Michael Jackson.
Don't touch me there. That's what the one you're talking
about. Have you heard the story?
Tell me.
So he has produced and finished his complete his documentary. He self-independently funded and produced it. I think he probably got some funding online as well through Kickstarters and whatnot.
Yeah, probably so.
So it's titled something crazy like the Rape of the Two Coreys or something
Jesus
like that.
Christ.
Something really hardcore. But it's about the pedophilia in Hollywood and about the that they dealt with when they were child actors and all the sexual assaults that they dealt with as child actors. So he says in the documentary he's gonna name the names.
Oh fuck.
Like
he's gonna get his ass sued.
He's gonna come.
So he
probably doesn't care.
He could not get a distributor from any of this major streaming platforms.
Yeah, I wonder why.
It's fucking suicide.
Yeah, nobody would do it. So he's going to sell e-tickets. You can already go on his website and you can buy an e-ticket and it's gonna be screened one time. On a day, it's like late February, I believe, or early March. So you buy a ticket in advance, and then you get the code, and then it'll show live. It's going to stream, and it's the first time he claims it's the first time this has ever been done. Where he says he's only going to show it one time.
Why?
One time.
No,
people are going to record it on their computers.
Well, I'm sure people can do that. I'm sure they're going to do that.
He knows that.
Yeah, because he was saying, well, why are you going to just show it one time? He says, well, I want everybody to watch it together like they used to when they used to watch TV movies. Like it would only air once and everybody would watch it together.
Weird. Let's watch this together where kids get raped. Yeah.
Well, do you agree or disagree that that's a weird and not a good idea as far as the way he's okay. distributing it?
Not the way
he's distributing it, but the fact that he's going to only show it one time.
All right. Think about it this way. When somebody sells a movie to Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much of that are they actually getting?
Probably less than half, probably 30%.
It's probably, it may even be.
It depends on the star.
Depends on who's
connected to.
Yeah, I mean, if it's.
He needs the money.
So if it's like an Adam Sandler movie.
Right.
How much is he getting when he's doing the movie with Jennifer Aniston? How much money? What's a percentage?
A bigger cut, I'm sure, than other people.
Right.
Because he's got a better deal.
Whereas Corey Feldman, what if he puts it through a streaming service, how much money is he going to make through that?
He's getting all of it.
Like a few percent, that's it.
But now he's getting all of it on Netflix, though. But now
he's getting less. Yeah.
He's going to get less, right? Than Adam Sandler.
That's the same thing what's his name did, the comedian. That was jerking off for people. What's his name?
Louis C.K.
So Louis C.K. basically did that too, where he sold tickets to his shows. Right? He would sell directly him to the people.
He did. He cut the middleman out, which is what Corey Feldman.
That's what he's doing.
That's all I'm saying. He's cutting the middleman out. That's all I'm trying to say. He's going to get all of it.
He's going to make all the money.
You're trying to say that?
Yes.
You're trying to say that?
That's what I was getting to before you interrupted me.
Oh, sorry. Revenge, bitch. Revenge. Well, sorry.
It's okay. I'm just teasing.
I'll order it if y'all want to have a screening. We can get together.
Nah, I'm okay.
You're interested?
Nah, I'm okay.
Jeff, you want to screen it? No, not like that.
Not that much. Okay. Damn.
I just thought it'd be compelling to watch it so we could do a podcast, talk about it.
It might be compelling.
The world is sad enough to hear more shit like that.
You're not curious? You're not curious to see it?
Don't care.
He's bi-curious.
I'll find out eventually, and I know who they are. These fucking child molesters.
You think that's what's going to happen? People are going to record it, and it's going to end up.
Oh my god! You're going to get banned.
What?
You're going to get banned.
What happened?
I accidentally turned on the video. You think it's going to get recorded, and people are going to throw it up on YouTube, and it's going to be up on other.
At least clips.
Let the word spread.
Clips about it and stuff.
But maybe that's what he wants.
But yeah, because he wants revenge. This is suicide.
Well, you would think he wants the word to get out about who these people are to get spread. Yeah. Is he really in jeopardy, his life?
No, I think it's not suicide, literally.
He'll get Jeffrey Epstein,
It'll be a suicide thing.
No, I think it's suicide as far as career. Like anyone, he's a piranha. He's a pariah.
He's not going to work.
Yeah, he's
but he
done.
It wasn't like he was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, well, he was doing like the reality TV shows, and he would do.
But he'll be a pariah. No one will ever want.
He won't even do those anymore. Yeah. If it's on major television networks,
they don't want him on because he'll be
unless he gets so much pub from this that he wiggles another. Reality show, or he's going on all the TV shows like The View.
Think of it this way.
What's
his legacy after this? He's known as a kid who got molested by a bunch of fucking shitbags.
Or is he a hero?
Do you want your life like that? Do you want to be remembered like that?
But is he a hero for having the courage to go up and face them and say, I'm going to get my revenge?
As long as it's.
I think.
As long as he has ample proof.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't just say things and then just like. Okay, this happened.
Yeah.
But I don't show his
if I ever did see that, I would not go, you're a fucking liar. I would never say that to him.
Right.
Because I believe it's true.
Yeah.
I don't need to see it though.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. It seems like, because there's been other people who have made these claims.
Well, I mean,
stories.
I wouldn't be surprised if some kid gets diddled who's, was a child actor.
Well, I mean, that happens in all walks of life. It's not just in Hollywood. But in Hollywood, there's this power play where it's like, we can get you in a movie.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
Just because they have the casting couches for some young ingenue female actor doesn't mean that they aren't going to do the same thing with little kids.
Or men.
But not as much.
The Greeks did it. The Romans did it. And it's always been around.
That sort of like, okay.
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, it's always been around. But it's just a... It's kind of like low key. No one talks about it.
Yeah.
And Epstein, of course, perfected it by using it for manipulation.
He used it on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. And a more powerful scale, too.
And a more powerful scale because he was a movie executive.
Yeah, that kind of world has always existed, though.
This was happening in the 60s, 70s, probably going back to like Charlie Chaplin, silent film era in Hollywood. Yeah. I'm guessing that was still probably going on then in the early days in the beginning of Hollywood's existence.
Well, grown men, sexually assaulting young women.
Well, yeah,
young
but
girls.
I think well back sure. then it was different. It was a different time. So I think that I don't know. I think the approach was different in terms of like what the way it was looked at.
I mean, wasn't Fatty Arbuckle like bumping uglies with like some 13-year-old girl?
There's some story,
yeah,
where
like
he was damn known for he got didn't he get a little bit of trouble over it?
Yeah, he got thrown into the pokey for jail for rape or something.
Yeah, he got into some real serious, you know.
Yeah, and he was a huge star. He was a huge star.
He was a huge star at the time.
I mean, he was literally huge.
And he was literally huge.
Debauchery. Fucking debauchery.
Yeah. He must have crushed. Well, never mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. He probably.
That's huge.
He probably got thrown in jail for crushing a girl.
Yeah.
Literally crushing him.
He was. No, I'm not going to say that. Never mind. Edit myself.
Either one of y'all have. You want to do a thoughts and advice piece? I've got something I can do if you don't have anything.
I got a prayer for this show. Definitely needs it, but I'll tell it later.
Okay. You got anything, Jeff, you want to do as a thought and vice, kind of closing thoughts? Or?
Can I interrupt? I just want to interrupt Reed again. I'm kidding. I just want to be able to interrupt Reed. It's so fun to see him get all the smoke go out of his ears.
It's like, you motherfuckers, shut the fuck up when I tell him a story.
Do we curse more than any of your other guests?
No, Bob the neighbor, he probably would.
Oh, okay.
Would surpass right, you good. In the cussing category.
Okay, that's
and he
good.
Always comes in either drunk or on some kind of drugs of some sort. So damn. He's either something that's an upper or a downer. So you either get the upper version of
he's
it.
He's a veteran too, right?
I don't know. Is he?
I thought you said he was a veteran.
He might be. He might be.
Damn.
Well, so are you?
Well, he doesn't do it all the time. He just does it. Okay, he does a little bit. It makes him more
nerves.
Come in comfortable, yeah, less nerves. Nerves, yeah. If he does a little something before he comes in.
Oh, does he get nervous?
I don't know. It just makes him relax. So he
do
can
you
just
still
talk,
get? Do you still get nervous?
No one's listening to this show.
Yeah, why do I want to get nervous? I mean, we're the only ones listening to each other. We're just sitting here. Who's listening to us?
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
it's okay.
So for this thoughts and advice,
it's embarrassing.
To close out the 118th episode.
You're embarrassing.
Wow, 100. I'm sorry.
118 of the Thunderpop podcast from the Thunderpop Dome with Feed the Reed.
Fuck you.
And my name is Jeff, sitting across from me. So think about this. Media. Different forms of media for music. You being a musician, Jeff.
Yeah.
Records, CDs, cassettes. CDs, dead, right?
It's getting there. Yep.
It's getting there.
Wow.
Can I still go to the store and buy a CD, a brand new CD?
Yes.
If I wanted to buy a new CD from one of the artists of the day, say I wanted to go and buy the new Taylor Swift, can I go buy a CD of Taylor Swift right now?
Of her
new latest album.
I hope you won't do that, but if you do.
Could
you
I?
You could.
Could I go down to Waterloo Records and buy a brand new, spanking new
and you could get an LP.
So CD's not completely dead, but they're close, right?
And LP's coming back, man.
So LP's coming back. Records, vinyl's coming back. Don't call
it a comeback. It is.
Yeah. I heard, I've been hearing that maybe cassettes now maybe even coming back.
What?
Well.
Is that true or is that false? Or is that just for like the real hipster kind of crowd
I think
that,
it's
likes,
for that.
To, likes to do something kind of
likes
different?
Likes to do kind of old school.
Ironic.
It's more durable, though. I got a gift once.
You think you're more durable? More durable than records or more durable
more
than
durable
CDs?
More durable than CDs. Okay. CDs are the most fragile.
I got a gift where it's a package. It looks like an actual cassette. In fact, I was stupid enough to think that it was actually a cassette.
It looked really,
and I tried
really
to put I tried to put it in a cassette deck that I still have, and I was like, motherfucker, it won't fit in there. And then I went, oh, that's because it had a little pull-out, little thumb drive.
Oh,
and so
cool.
It looks
I've
like
seen
a,
these.
It looks like
yes.
a cassette, and you can go boop. And so it's one of these
mixtape.
Ones that you can. It's a mixtape, but
wow.
it's a thumb drive mixtape.
That's cool.
And it was actually pretty cool. So it was very nostalgic.
Cool. I like that.
What are you like, Weezer from like Pauly Shore going beep, or is that like the what's his name the comedian boop. That does those noises, the beeps and the boops when he's doing his little stand up? David Spade. David Spade's really good with the beeps.
Yeah, well,
beep, boop.
When I was a younger man, people used to say, and I hate to say this is true, people used to say that I looked like David Spade.
I've seen your younger pictures. And you had
a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know, David Spade, known to be a undercover, like, ladies man. Like, he gets all these, like, hot women that have dated him.
It's only because he has money.
Well, he's funny, too.
He's funny.
I think it's because he's funny, too.
That helps.
I mean, but Ted Bundy didn't have any money, and he got ladies.
Well, the
he
money, good looks, that's the right. money helps, but I think it's because he's also because he's funny. They
and
like that
you
part,
know,
he
Ted
makes
Bundy,
laugh.
That whip, you know, the comedic genius, probably kept all those women in stitches, man. I'm sorry, that was terrible.
All right, well, on that note, and all the constants, we were talking about how commercials are going to change over and how we watch stuff on TV or on computers or on phones. Video games, they constantly are changing and evolving. Now it's going more into the VR. The VR stuff's going to kind of become more of a thing.
That sounds cool.
It's going to be like the holodeck.
Well, I think holograms. Yeah, I think it's going to be more like the holodeck going forward in the future, man. We're going to have some fun times with that. But
well, our kids are.
Our kids, well, we will. We'll get a little bit.
Mix that with sex dolls. It'd be great.
It's coming. It's coming. Literally, it's coming. But literally.
There you go, Reed. It's perfect for you.
Literally coming. But here's the thing. Oh, boy. So here's the thing. I didn't do that, by the way. I didn't put that sound effect in.
Yes,
that was,
you did.
That was you doing your cheeks. I did not put that sound effect in because that got me in trouble one time for doing. I did a Tom Cruise with masturbation sounds where he's on the Today Show. Remember the Today Show?
And when he was jumping up and down on the couch.
No, he was going off on Matt Lauer for asking him about Scientology, about the prescription drugs.
Oh yeah.
And he went into a rant, and I put a guy watching, like he was watching it and masturbating while he was watching it as a sound effect. And yeah, our friend Patty was not pleased when she stumbled on that listening to the.
You got in trouble.
What
the fuck's wrong with you, man?
She was upset. I apologized. The next episode, I came back and apologized.
You should be fucking ashamed of yourself.
So I'm just want to clarify. I didn't make that sound. That you.
So basically, Jeff, you should be ashamed of yourself for making those sounds.
Because it's disgusting. It's a disgusting sound.
Oh well.
Okay, I'm just messing with you. I've done it. I put it on the show before.
I guess he's.
I'll tell you.
What he's telling us is that he's never
cut it out.
He's telling he's never masturbated. Is what he's trying to say.
I'm masturbating right now. What are you talking about? As I'm behind this, you can't see from the.
Ha ha, bitch!
So there you go. A touche.
Touche.
So.
Skeet, skeet.
So here's the thing. The one constant, though, that I just stumbled on this the other day, kind of an epiphany. Board games.
Say that again?
An epiphany?
Epiphany. Did I say that right? Epiphany.
How you say that again?
And I thought he said epiphany for a minute.
Epiphany? I'm saying it like Mike Tyson. Epiphany.
Yeah, that would
perfect.
Be Mike Tyson.
That's perfect.
Yes. All right, continue. Proceed.
The one constant in the changing of technology and media and how we consume it and the ways we get to where we're going to be entertained, the one thing that sustains is board games.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Board games are hotter than ever. And I think one of the reasons why board games are hotter than ever is because people are always on electronics now. Phones.
Fuck that.
We can't get detached from them. But the one thing you can do to separate yourself from that and still get entertainment is a good board game. Your music, the way you're consuming music, it seems like it's attached to our phones more now than it used to be.
That's why they're going back to the old LP, because everybody can sit around the old school stereo. Boom.
Well, you know, me and my wife now, we try to do one night a week where we put our phones
away. Can we talk about that?
Well, no.
Okay,
just a non-electronic.
Once a week?
That's
fucked up, man.
Well, because there's just like.
Oh, you're talking about something else.
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
No, I'm talking about a non-electronics, like where we.
Oh,
we,
my God.
We don't have our phone like sitting by the table.
Easy.
Hey, what? Where's your head?
Oh, it's my bad. Sorry.
So, but it feels good to get separated from smartphones for how many nights a week do you get separated from your phone? Your phone's with you all the time, is it not?
Mm-hmm. No, it really isn't.
Well, you're not. Okay. Oh. But like. A lot of people nowadays, it is. It's like constantly.
Oh, I mean, it's a constant. Okay. Do you remember I told you the episode of the Star Trek The Next Generation where Wesley Crusher's carrying around the little device?
There you go. Yeah.
That's it right there. That's most of America. And occasionally it's me too.
The game? You want the game?
No, about where they were playing a game.
Yeah.
But it was on a handheld device. It looked like a cell phone. It's about the size of a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And you see this little holographic. See, I'm getting.
They had the.
I got
eyepiece
Presley disease right now.
Yeah,
so yes, and they're looking at this little thing, and it looks like
a tornado. Put your mouth to the mic when you talk.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. See, I should know this. How many?
Fucking.
How many?
Fucking
I'm sorry.
Stop it! You're fucking embarrassing me.
Again. Again. Really? Sorry.
Well,
But you have to edit all this.
I guess what I'm trying to say is board games. Board games. That's the answer to entertainment.
Board games.
Hey, there's some really good board games.
Axis and Allies.
Are you bored? You like one? Yeah. You got one you like. What's your favorite board
Stratego.
Game?
Stratego.
As a kid?
Yeah.
Probably Monopoly.
Checkers?
Well, now, do you have one you would play if you were going to play a board game now?
Risk.
That'd be your go-to?
Risk.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. You should play Womanized Monopoly. You seen that one?
Is that a real thing?
Mm-hmm. So it's like some stupid bitch in charge.
How much for your vagina? Is that
really? Nah, it's like you play the Monopoly where you're a girl. If you're a whammon, you get more money. And because, oh, no. Yeah. No, it's Monopoly actually did this. It's called Businesswoman or something like that.
It really does exist.
Yeah. This guy on Armored Skeptic, mm-hmm. him and his girlfriend did it, and they were playing the game, and it's so fucking bullshit. It's funny. And it's called Monopoly Businesswoman or something like that. And every woman gets more money.
So it's not Manopoly? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what it's called. It's Businesswoman.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's
a real game. It's real. It's fucking retarded.
I'm gonna check it out. So I know you're gonna do something to close out, but before I do that, I didn't really get a chance to. We were talking about Star Trek, but we didn't really get into
Picard.
I want to ask.
Here we go.
I don't know if Jeff, have you seen it yet?
Yes, saw the first episode.
Okay, same here.
You saw it?
Yeah, I told you.
Okay, cool.
This.
That's right.
What do you think? Because I emailed you and you said not my Star Trek. It's okay. You said it was okay, but not my Star Trek.
Okay, so I saw the first episode.
Same here. We've all seen the first episode.
It looked really cool. It looked like a fucking movie.
It does. It's
looked
very
great.
Yeah. Cinematically, it looks good.
Good production value.
Good production.
But if I just turned the volume down and just had it play in the background with the pretty lights and everything, I would have been okay. Just leave it like that. Don't listen to the
guy. Once you heard the dialogue or the actual
pure shit. No, it was okay. But when I started seeing the second episode and third episode that I wanted to see, and I heard the reviews from people that I respect their opinion.
Right.
Man, they start talking shit about it. I was like, damn, is that bad? Because this is one thing you realize that Picard or Sir Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, who didn't want to do this show, by the way.
No.
They had to court him for a while to get him to come on.
Really?
But he said...
Yeah, he did not want to do
how
it.
Old is he? He's got to be 80 years old.
He's up there. But what he was afraid of is he did not want to do the Next Generation 2.0. He didn't want to just go and do more of that.
He wanted to do his.
He wanted to do different.
He had a political agenda.
Well, that's what I'm hearing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they hooked him, because of that. Mm-hmm. And then what did he do? The Federation... is the United States. Mm-hmm. And what happens in the Federation? They would not help the immigrants from the Romulan Empire into the...
So there's that. I see what you're going with.
Because it's not about Romulan life, it's about life. He says that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then...
Because he helped him. Right. He wanted to help him. Despite the danger of involved that was involved.
Let's get one thing straight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can any of you challenge me on the history of Star Trek?
No.
Okay, so this is what's going on.
Probably the only person I probably know somebody that can, but I couldn't do it myself.
Right. So the Federation.
Only people I know that could challenge you are deceased.
Hey, don't. Nah, hey, respect.
Maybe
respect.
Alec Peters.
Yeah, respect. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Federation has turned into this is Trump deranged syndrome. The Federation is the United States. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed. It's not the same anymore.
Yeah.
So then when you start, basically he changed it. So that's not Gene Roddenberry's fucking Star Trek. It's not his Federation. The Federation, we've all known, the reason why we like it, because it was always positive. It was always a bright future for humanity.
Right, it was exploration.
They've ruined that.
Discovery.
And what happens? There's all these fucking women in charge. Every character he goes to is a fucking woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that fucking Admiral say to fucking Picard?
She actually says the F word.
She says pure fucking hubris.
Yeah.
What the actual fuck is a admiral from the Federation saying fucking to Picard? Mm-hmm. Admiral Picard.
We noticed the irony.
Shut your fucking mouth. What the fuck is up with that? What the fuck's up with that?
We noticed the irony of this.
It's fucking bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the shit I'm talking about. That's the political agenda he's pushing. This is not my Star Trek. This is a Star Trek from the other universe in that fucking toilet, that bathroom with the toilet, all those turds floating. That's what this is. And he's fucking ruined it.
Do you think audiences are going to... They may have started out the first episode. A lot of people watched it because I know it's free on YouTube.
Yeah.
Do you think that the people that are kind of not on board with his political agenda, do you think they're going to start to tune out and then it's going to start to diminish as the show continues through?
That's exactly what's going to... I hope that's what happens. I hope that happens. Because what the fuck actual fuck, man? What the hell?
Because Star Trek has always been...
yes. But it's never
bi-political, meaning it was not.
But it's,
it was not
set, it's not. But it's set never on, pushed a political agenda.
Yeah, it's never pushed a political.
It's
agenda.
It's never done that.
It's always been about inclusivity, but it's not political.
They've never shoved it down your fucking throat. It's always been about diversity. Right. That's why I've always liked about the Federation.
Yeah,
it is against Federation lore that the Federation would not help out the Romulans because they are our enemies. That what did they do with the Klingons? They in the story and the Klingon the Federation, mm-hmm. they helped them. When that Enterprise C went back in time mm-hmm. to defend the Klingon colony against the Romulans, that showed the Klingons that the Federation are honorable. Mm-hmm. And that led to the Kittimura Accords. That's what happened. And you're telling me that that's the Federation? No, that's not the same Federation. This is a perverse leftist. This is what this is. This universe is fucked. This is a totally different universe. This does not belong in our Star Trek.
So is Sir Patrick Stewart to blame for it?
Yes.
Because he's the one that guided them in that direction to get
absolutely,
him, to get
because
him to
he's
do
against
it.
Brexit, too. We all know his political standings. We all understand that. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Don't you ever fucking put that shit in the fucking movie, man. Mm. You don't do that with the Federation. You don't do that with Star Trek.
What do you think on this, Jeff? Because you saw the first episode,
I saw
too,
the first episode.
And you saw a little bit of that in there.
A little, but I mean, it's so muted in the first episode. The first episode to me
comes out in the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't. And to be fair, give Reed a little bit of credit here. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the second episode
right.
yet, and so I'm with Reed in the fact that I don't think that you need to mix the left right paradigm politics with a Star Trek movie or start trying to shove environmentalism.
Well,
I mean, now,
or if you
I mean,
do,
now,
if
Star
you
Trek
do.
4 was all about environmentalism because mm-hmm. remember they had they had to get the whale sounds to get the
right.
spaceship to
right.
go away, and I was like, okay, all right. I mean, I sort of get it. I didn't really like that aspect, but I thought there were other
elements.
It was
hippie. It was hippie.
Yeah, but there were other elements of that movie that were serviceable mm-hmm. and decent and. You know,
there were some funny, really good scenes in that film.
Right.
Was really good parts.
I don't think this is horrible. This is fucking bad. That's why it's funny how things have changed in 2015 to now, how much things have changed because of our election, because of Brexit and all that shit,
mm-hmm.
because of nationalism and all this bullshit, mm-hmm. all these SJWs that have gone fucking straight fucking libtard.
Mm-hmm.
It has made the center, the right now, the mm-hmm. shifted. I always hear Jimmy Dore talking how the Overton window has shifted to the right. He goes, mm-hmm. No, it's the opposite. I don't get that.
Well,
it's all a matter of perspective.
I see the left that there's division on the right and the left because I see the left where there's the Bernie Sanders kind of socialist left.
Bad.
And then there's the more of the mainstream left, which are like the old arm of like the Gore, Clinton kind of left.
Warmongers, yeah.
Yeah, but they're, yeah. And then, and the Republicans, they're the never Bush, the never Trumpers, mm-hmm. which would be like a Mitt Romney.
Yep.
And then there's the people that align up on Trump's side mm-hmm. on things. And they have loyalty to him. So I see the division on both
sides.
There's
lots of grays, yeah.
There's definitely some more division right now, I think, on the left, because there's people that absolutely, like the Bernie mm-hmm. Sanders supporters, the what's her name? Okay, AOC.
She's fucking retarded.
There's
Jesus
that group of left, yeah. And then there's the people that are like the Clinton left, and they don't like that stuff. You know, like I saw an interview with Carville. That guy Carville has been around for years. He used to work for Clinton as
Judd's dad
in his cabinet. Is it Judd's dad?
Yeah. You ever watch James Carville and Judd talk at the same time?
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
They have that same little, same little stammer when they talk.
They do. Well, Carville, he's talking about how like this is bad, like how they labeled like Bernie. Label himself a socialist, so it's like he's already branded himself that
move, yeah.
And so everything now that he does is going to be attached to that no matter what. So anyway, yeah, there's a division on both sides, definitely. It's a weird time politically.
This is the worst it's ever been, as far as like, yeah, this is bad because it's.
This
it's
why we need a strong centrist third party.
That'll never happen.
Yeah, but it should.
Third party has been.
No, I agree. Yeah. But it's just fucked.
And that way, you know, because to me, I would love for the for the Democrats and the Republicans to both get flushed, like the turd organizations they are.
That would be Ross Perot. Wouldn't Ross Perot have been a central?
I voted for Ross Perot in 1996.
He was kind of that middle ground, wasn't he?
Yeah, and like I said, and I'm more left than Reed. Mm-hmm. That's not saying a whole lot. That's not saying a whole lot.
When you start,
I haven't voted for a Democrat for president since 1992.
Well, you know, even if there's a third type of left or Democrat, and that would be like the Tulsi Gabbard
conservative
Andrew Yang type of Democrat, which is a little bit more of a libertarian type of
central
thinking. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. We need a strong centrist party that aren't stupid fucking warmongers. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
She's still enrolled, still active military.
She's a current officer right now. But when you start bringing this stuff into your I think she's a major. I think. A medical field. When you start bringing
in... She got accused of being a Russian op by Hillary Clinton.
Well, it was implied because Clinton is... Who gives a fuck? She's a cunt.
She's suing her now.
And she should for $50 million.
For a defamation lawsuit.
It is, yeah.
Yeah? Is it $50
million? $50
million. Yeah.
But this whole like, the when you start... your escapism starts going that route. And when it starts going against... there's nothing to, like, morals... lots of different morals, but when you start going against, you start doing shit that's like SJW crap stuff, and you start doing leftist fucking commie stuff, I don't like that shit. And see, the thing is, the Federation is a socialist program, like say, for example, not a socialist program exactly, but when Roddenberry designed the Federation, mm-hmm. it was kind of stupid, but the idea was that the Federation, the Starfleet is not a military. I was like, that's stupid, that's bullshit. And there's no currency in the Federation. That's kind of silly, too. So it's basically utopia, right? Mm-hmm. And so the only thing you get something like that similar would be the Scandinavian countries. But those Scandinavian countries are not socialist. They're capitalist countries.
Mm-hmm.
They're
right.
They're not socialist countries.
Not completely.
Yeah. But their taxes are really high. That's where they're able to do things. So that was kind of the idea for Starfleet, or not the Federation, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And the diversity that the Federation had gave it a strength. And back then, when I first watched it, I was like, no, that does give you a strength because, you know, that's cool. That's okay with that. Because the thing is cool about let me give you an example, like the Klingon Federation War, right? The Klingons couldn't, when the Klingons went to war with the Federation, the thing about the art of war is reading your enemy, right? You know the tactics you're going to use. When the Klingons came across the Federation, these ships that the Federation had all looked the same.
Yeah.
You don't know what the crew is made up of.
Right.
Because sometimes you had Vulcan crews, you had Andorian crews, mm-hmm. you had human crews, and you had mixed crews.
Yeah.
Tellarite crews. They all had different tactics, and they all worked. Some of them worked, some of them didn't.
Right.
So when the Klingons came across the Federation, they didn't know what they were coming up against. They didn't know what strategy. They had to think on their toes. The Federation knew the Klingon strategy. They knew. Everyone knew it. So you see what I'm saying?
That was an homogenous society.
Right. And that's the strength as far as like different strategies at work, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I like about that. That's cool. They're different. So that's why our country is so powerful, so rich. Because we, you know, I'm saying they steal, but we adapt to what's better. The Vikings did that in the past too. Mm-hmm. When they came across, what do you call it? Steel from, God damn it, Damascus steel. Mm-hmm. When anything the Vikings came across that was better, they took it, and they adapted to it. And so when they came across the sails, they made ships. They had ships already. When they came across the sails from the Romans, they made ships with sails. They made them shallow. They can go into the rivers, go into the ocean, carry a lot of loot. And when they got to the locations too, they traded. Not only if they could trade. If they had to raid, they raided. And they took the shit back home because they needed money. Because when the dark times came after the fall of the Roman Empire, that's the reason why that shit happened. Mm-hmm. So they adapted to their environment. If they would, like, basically, if Odin was around today, like, you know, those times, he would have a motorcycle and he would have a machine gun. Because they adapted to what was the best technology to raid with.
Mm-hmm. Was that kind of like when Napoleon was in Bill and Ted's, he started to adapt at the bowling alley and how to use his dictatorship ways.
Exactly.
To apply to the...
So that's why diversity is good, but diversity doesn't always make you stronger. because there's not a cohesion.
You can have a diverse group of people, but if they all think alike,
similarly,
yeah. then you have a more homogenous, even maybe not culturally. Yeah, but anyway, never mind.
Okay, think of the internet as a portal, right? Mm-hmm. There's a guy, like I told you before, when talking about this portal, this internet, and you think of it as the wizards that have knowledge of the portal, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think of also, this is from Stardust mm-hmm. said this, right, in one of his videos. The knowledge that comes from this portal, not everyone can handle it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but you have, and another thing also, you got to be careful of what's the bullshit and what is real and what's bullshit, right? And it's easier after time, eventually you'll be able to tell, like we can tell what YouTube's doing. We can tell what Google's doing. Mm-hmm. And we share it with each other on the internet and everyone knows. Mm-hmm. And that's why no one goes to the local media anymore because it's fake news. Even Jimmy Dore, who is a progressive,
right,
who is I think a commie and like socialist who's for Bernie, he has some good points because he says stuff like, he doesn't believe the news either. He calls the news fake media, just like Trump does. Mm-hmm. So there's something there.
But for different reasons.
For the same reasons.
Sort of. It depends on the perspective.
Have you seen Jimmy Dore? You listen to him too? Okay, yeah. So good. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, mm-hmm. I think you're right. So those are the kind of things. There's different alternatives to the news. Mm-hmm. And so that's the portal. That's when people start hearing about MAGTO. Mm-hmm. And they take the blue pill or the red pill, that kind of stuff, right? You have to be careful of being woke or not woken, because like me, I can say I'm woken to all this new portal, this magic that the magician has, whatever. Can I handle the information, right? So another thing, it's all the Star Trek. Well, I'm able to see through all this bullshit, and I don't like it because it's fucking perverse. It almost seems like it's not real. It's perverse. It's not what reality is.
It's propaganda.
It's propaganda, right?
And Edward Bernays would love it.
I don't know
who that
is. Edward Bernays?
The name sounds familiar, but
he's the guy that wrote the book Propaganda back in the early 20th century.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
So I mean he was
there's that IQ there. Well, back, the levels back up.
Good.
Occasionally for me, but
we're heading into our third hour. We gotta wrap this up.
All right.
So
you ready for the prayer?
Ready? Reed says he wants to close the show, and I'm a little scared. You can hear my voice cracking with a prayer.
That's right. You fucking heathens.
I'm afraid. Jeff, should I be afraid?
I don't know. I'm kind of wondering too. It's making my butthole pucker a little
bow
bit.
Bow your heads.
All right.
I'm an ultra Orthodox Unitarian.
Okay, get on with it. We're heading into a third hour. So
shut the fuck up and that's it.
Right.
Are you ready?
It's called the Pimp's Prayer.
The Pimp's Prayer.
Pimp's Prayer. Okay.
Cool. Lord, please pray for the soul of this bitch and guide my pimp hand and make it strong, oh Lord, so that she may learn her hoe's place. Amen.
Boy. Wow. Did you write that?
No, I didn't write that.
Where?
That came from Jeebus.
Who's Jeebus?
Jesus.
Jeebus. Okay, gotcha. It's from... Oh, good. Okay. Any rebuttal or commentary, Jeff?
Man, how can you follow that? You know, that's unfollowable.
Okay, I'm
keep that pimp hand strong, punk.
On that note, I got Thanos' fist here. Is that a pimp hand? Does that count as a pimp hand?
It does.
That could be.
It's got jewels all over the fingers.
It's gonna leave a mark on your head.
Yep, it does leave a mark on your head. All right. On that note,
you wanna get fisted? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Oh, never mind. Sorry.
I don't know if Thanos had that kink. Yeah. On that note, everyone, have a good day, hour, month, second, and millisecond. Thank you, Jeff Painter and Reed Charles. I'm Stephen Presley. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night, good day, and everything else. Say it again. Thunder Pop. and Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.